I see with my own naked eye. I gotta cut the cord and fall away. That instinct I can justify. Big
And on, please.
Dumois has the whole story.
Did you hear what Dumois said?
Who is it?
O-M-G.
Can you believe this blind item?
Dumois was on that story a long time
ago. Sunday means celeb sightings with Dumois.
I just DM'd Dumois.
I cannot believe what I just read about
Dumois. I need to hear more.
Hello, and welcome to Do You, the show where you'll hear all the latest in celeb gossip and special exclusives that are not shared on my Instagram or anywhere else. I'll be your guide into the world of celeb news, sightings, and secrets. I will be giving you all of the information I have on your favorite topics every week.
This week, we're talking about some juicy secret celeb hookups, Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner-Smith, Taylor Swift's Girl Squad dinner, and Kim Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian. We're discussing all of this with talk show host, podcast host, and dating expert Gabby Conti. Let's get started.
Fifty high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes the competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of that's how I'm going to start pronouncing it, Ferris, because everyone says that I say do you.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's like supposed to be duh.
You don't know your Francais.
Yeah. And then last night when I was laying in bed, I started like doing the French alphabet in my head.
Oh, can we do it?
Because I was like, yeah, sure.
Ready? One, quick. Two, three, go.
Say, day, EFJ. Go faster. Okay, so let's call it, yeah, so let's call it because that's how you're, that's the correct pronunciation of this podcast. Right. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, today's guest is one of my favorite people who follow my account. We've been virtual social media friends for a while now. It's Gabby Conti, who's a podcast and talk show host, writer, comedian, journalist, and dating expert. Your book, 20 Guys You Date in Your 20s, is available now. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to
It is a pleasure. Thank you so much. I took Spanish in high school, so I can't help you out with the French.
We can teach you.
This is such an honor. I'm so happy to be here. I don't think I've ever missed a podcast. I've listened to every single episode, so I'm really excited.
Oh my God.
To be here.
I feel bad for you. God bless you. God bless you.
It's a very informative podcast. I learn a lot. I love Ferris. Now that Ferris is here, I love your guys' like back and forth. Like, it's such a fun listen. It's like the highlight of my Thursdays.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
I
thank you for saying it's informative, because I've mentioned this before, because it's something I'm actually like kind of proud of, but our podcast is in the news category. So whenever I go to the Apple charts to see like what number we're at, usually it's like it hovers around 50 for top podcasts in the news category. It's always like, you know, I see like Rachel Maddow or like Meet the Press, and then there's like Do You, and I'm like, okay, that's like kind of cool though. I've said this before. I don't know, but I think
he
it's
loves
cool.
to talk about it. Gabby loves to talk about because how she's it's like news.
No, because it's like the only
sort of pop culture podcast that I see like on the charts. And I just think it's cool because why can't this be considered the news?
Well, I mean, when I report entertainment news, you are always a source. You've been a source for me a lot with HollyWire. So, and because I feel like you're getting information from people, whether it's correct or not all the time, but you know, you're posting what you get. And so many times you have a tip and then it turns out being verified. So.
Correct. And sometimes I know that it's verified before I post it. I mean, I'm a little more buttoned up these days. So sometimes I'll post something and then the other media outlets will follow and people will be like, look, look, it's confirmed. And I want to be like, well, I already knew it was confirmed. That's why I was so sure about it. But, you know, I love that everyone sends me everything from all over the internet. That's how I stay informed, through my audience. They send me everything. They're amazing. I say it every episode. I love them so much.
Do like publicists or celebrities ever want to break a story through you exclusively, or does that ever, or can you speak on that? I'm just curious.
Not outright. Mm. So they won't message me and say, I am Kylie Jenner's publicist. Can you please post that her and Timothy are dating? No, they don't. But that being said, and Ferris and I talk about this all the time, we think that people submit emails through our email system and to try to get the word out about stuff.
100%.
All the time.
It. Yeah.
And whether it be a celebrity or their team. But with that is, it's always, you know, like a crap shoot. I don't post every single email I get. I literally go through my inbox and pick and choose on what I think is interesting. So right. It's not guaranteed that if you submit that way that it's going to get posted. So, you know, yeah, but I do think it happens. I mean, I guess I'm just speculating. I don't know for sure, but no, they don't come to me and say like, we want to break this. well, you know, celebrity couple, can you please post?
Well, because they're a non, so you know
they're non. Yeah, I mean maybe they do through burner accounts. You know, I don't know who's to say. It's all very covert.
Every celebrity has a Finsta or like a spam account. So yeah, it's possible.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about your new podcast, Bad Influencer. I was lucky enough to make a cameo appearance. It was my first acting job as Demois.
I just listened, by the way. Oh, and yay. Wow, what a performance.
She nailed it. Like I was in the studio when we were recording that. And it was one take, first of all. I'm pretty sure you did it in one take. We only had to pick up one or two lines, which like professional actors can't even do that. And it was so real. And the scene, which is so funny. So Bad Influencer is a 9-part rom-com for your ears series. It's about a girl who dreams of being a famous influencer and wakes up one day, her wishes come true, and she's caught in nonstop scandals. And in this fiction world, Dumois is a thing. You get a lot of shout outs throughout the episode. And then I love that you finally were able to make an appearance, and our influencer goes on, do you, just like I am on today, to set the record straight on a scandal and do. Applause, applause. You nailed it. Totally nailed it.
Wow. Thank you so much. I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. And fun fact, after I graduated college, I took a soap opera acting class in New York City.
Oh.
And I like had very brief aspirations to be a soap opera actress, but I sucked so bad. I was so bad.
I remember this.
You didn't know this first?
No, I remember this.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I
sucked so bad. And for like the final, you had to act out a scene in front of the class and go on film. And I think I acted out a scene from like All My Children or something. And it was so embarrassing and so bad that that was the end of my acting career. So I was honored that you asked me to be on Bad Influencer. Everyone should listen to it. Not because I'm on it. Because it's like, because it's fun and it's compelling and it's different.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a new wave of podcasts that are doing this. It's kind of hard to sometimes explain it to people because it's not an audiobook. It's very much like an audio immersive experience. And Emerald Audio that produced Bad Influencer was co-founded by Jane Green, who's an 18-time New York Times bestselling author. So I got to co-create the show with her. I wrote all of the 9 episodes and it was very much inspired. I wrote this in 2022. So it was very much inspired by the real influencer scams and scandals and celebrity tea that was happening at that time. But obviously I made it fiction because I don't want to get sued.
Of course. That's awesome.
So you used real influencers as your inspiration, because I get asked about a handful of influencers all the time. You know, ones that were particularly involved in scandals that we won't name names. I think that everyone knows who we're talking about. But you use these people's situations.
I took their names out. There's specifically one scandal that you will recognize that now happens to our villain. Our villain's name is Eva Evolving. She's like the biggest influencer in this world, and she's dating this really hot guy named Adam. So they're Adam and Eva together. They have their own skincare line, you know, like that kind of stuff. And she has a scandal that is inspired by, because specifics has changed, of a very big influencer scandal from last year.
Ooh.
So I'm curious if people will guess what it is. And there's also a reference to another influencer scandal. We don't name check her, but if you follow Dumois and Diet Prada, you'll know exactly who we're talking about.
Okay, don't answer, but I'm guessing Danielle Bernstein and Ariel Charnas. That's what I'm guessing. You don't have to answer. You're not even blinking.
I'm not. I won't. I won't. Yeah, anything.
Stone-faced. Okay.
Yeah. When can everyone listen to Bad Influencer?
Right now. The whole series is available. You can binge the whole thing like you're binging that new Netflix show or movie. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. We also put it on YouTube. And I don't know if we could put it in the episode description, so there's a show link for it. But yeah, you can listen to it right after you listen to this amazing podcast.
Okay, awesome. Yay. Well, let's get into the topics of the week. Ferris, what are we starting off with?
Okay, let's talk about people's sexiest man alive for 2023.
Okay, so somebody asked in the Q&A if I had heard who was going to be crowned people's sexiest man alive this year. And no, I haven't heard at all. This is what I've heard. I've heard that there were plans for several celebrities to be potential title holders, but it all had to be shifted when the strike made most actors reluctant to participate. So the attention shifted to possible musicians / athletes who would be viable. Mm. Now that the strike is over, the possibility is back to maybe being a actor. But I feel like, hello, who is the most obvious candidate right now?
Travis Kelce. That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Exactly. Well, you know, when
Harry?
Harry Styles.
But Harry's year felt like last year, you know what I mean? I feel like he's kind of cooled off for a minute. I feel like he's gonna come back.
You're a little bit right there. Yeah. I can
Travis
see
that. Kelce, I feel like, would be a great contender and very, you know, timely for right now. But I don't know. This person says that now that the strike is over, and, you know, I think the SAG strike, I think, is coming to an end. Gabby, you might know more about that, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that is happening in the next few days or so. But yeah, I stand by them. I hope they get everything they're asking for. I'm so happy that happened with WGA. So yeah, fingers crossed for that.
Right. So now that SAG might be coming to an end as well, it sounds like the initial list is, you know, they're looking at the initial list of the potential title holders. So People Magazine is very tight-lipped about who they give this title to. And I remember one year, I think I found out who it was going to be before it was announced. But last year, I had no idea. Last year was Chris Evans. Maybe I knew the year before that. Was that Michael B. Jordan?
What if it was Timothy Chalamet this year?
I was thinking that, Gabby.
Because it would align with the publicity for Wonka, because Wonka's coming out this winter, right? And hopefully the strike's over by then. So that would kind of make sense.
Well, this is the problem, and this is what I've heard, is that they offer it to a lot of people. People don't accept it.
Oh.
Yeah, the actor has to accept it, or the celebrity has to accept it, and not everyone is willing to be plastered on the cover of a magazine with that title next to their face. So
kind of a burden too, to be considered that. Right. It probably is like how, remember how Zac Efron said like how he felt the pressure to always have a six pack after doing Baywatch? I feel like you have that same insecurity when you get a title like Sexiest Man Alive. Like you feel like you have to maintain that. Not like female actresses have to deal with that on a daily basis, but yeah.
See, I feel like
right, exactly.
For me, it would be like the opposite for me. Like if I got like Sexiest Woman Alive, which vote for me, everybody. But like I would feel as if like I could let myself go after that. You know what I mean? It's like, all right.
You peaked. You peaked.
I peaked. And now, you know, let things go.
Okay. You're so crazy.
Oh, okay. 2023.
What's next?
Blake and Taylor's dinner at Emilio's Bellotto.
Oh. Okay, somebody sent me the receipt, the actual receipt. I don't know how widely spread this picture is. So if you've seen it, like this isn't news to you, but you haven't seen it, I thought it was so interesting. Somebody sent me a picture of the receipt from Saturday night, the night that Taylor, Sophie, Blake Lively, Brittany, and a bunch of other wags were at Emilio Bellotto's. And I'm going to actually post the receipt for subscribers on Instagram. Sorry, everyone else. But, you know, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, whoever took this picture, because I feel like it's a little bit of an
invasion.
What am I trying to say? Yeah, a little bit of an invasion. Yeah, a little bit. Well, a little bit of an invasion of probably the restaurant's policy.
Oh, yeah. Because did a waiter take the picture? Like,
I have no idea who took. I have no idea who took the picture, but it is in fact a picture. Guess who paid for the dinner?
Taylor, right?
No, Blake Lively.
Oh, okay. That Buzz Betty money is like rolling in, right? Is that what her brand is called?
Yeah. So the total for the dinner, I don't know exactly how many girls were there. There actually is a picture floating around. One of Brittany's friends posted a Polaroid, so I should have went back and counted the exact amount of guests, but the dinner came to around $4,000, which I don't think it's that's that bad.
Yeah, that's for that many people. That's how much celebrities spend on dinner. It's a lot for me.
Yeah, for sure. I actually think 12 people went, because if you look back, it says 12 at 195.
And right, I mean, good point, Ferris. All right, so let's read what they had. I don't know. This is of interest to me. I post a lot about restaurants. I post a lot about celebrity orders at restaurants. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is like the jackpot. Okay, they ordered 2 bottles of San Pellegrino. I was happy to see this on the receipt. Somebody had 2 Cosmopolitans.
Woo!
I mean, it better have been Taylor. Somebody had 2 martinis. There were 2 Aperol Spritz. 1 Mitchers. What is that, Ferris?
Bourbon. It's bourbon.
Bourbon. Okay. 1 margarita. And then they ordered the prefix menu at $195 per person. But then someone got a Caesar salad, 2 bottles of aquapana, 3 orders of the polpette. Is that how you pronounce it, you think, Ferris?
I would think so.
What is that?
Meatballs. But I was looking actually at the menu. It could possibly be their spaghetti and meatball dish, but it could also just be the meatballs themselves, because if you do a little mathematique, it says 3 at $24. So that'd be like, maybe they were like, can we just have like 3 meatballs?
Right. That
makes
sense.
I feel like that like tracks.
That's a lot of money for three meatballs, but I guess.
I mean.
Yeah.
I'm Italian American. You could make like three dozen meatballs for that amount of money. Easily. Same girl, maybe same. More. Yeah. My grandmother.
Two orders of the a la bolognese with tagliatelle. That's like just bolognese. One bottle of the Brunello Casa Raya. Do you think that's how you pronounce it, Ferris?
Think so. Ria.
Okay. Ria, yeah.
Raya.
That is a bottle of red Rioja? Wine.
No, that's a different.
No.
Yeah, that's not.
It's a bottle of red wine, right, mm-hmm. Ferris?
Yes, yes.
And then one bottle of the Gavi Odosoldi.
Oh,
which is a bottle of white wine.
I love agave. They're the best. It's my favorite. One of my favorite white wines. And Cosmo. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great.
Ooh, good to know.
It's good. Every time you go to an Italian restaurant, I feel like the Gavi d'Agave is always a good choice for a white wine. And then obviously like a Chianti or what they got goes really well with Italian food. That's always my go-tos.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. So the total came to $3,938.60. Blake left a tip of $500. For a grand total of $4,438.60. Blake Elander Lively, it says on the credit card receipt. I want to know how she got stuck with the check. It just like of all people, like it just seems really odd because this was Taylor's thing. The Wags were there. Blake was there, I would assume, because Taylor said, "Do you want to come to dinner?" But then she was nice enough to say, let me pick up the check.
You know what a move I do sometimes? Because when dealing with people splitting the check, it's such a headache. And also if I want to go home and not deal with like an hour of people figuring it out, sometimes I'll put down my card and then I'll have everyone Venmo me. I don't think celebrities do that. Because it's easier with one card. But I'm also sure like Taylor and Blake's relationship, because they've been friends for so long, it's probably very much like, I'll get this one, you get the next one kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking, Gabby. Yeah.
It's just easier because like, and Blake strikes me as someone who like just wanted to get home after the dinner, you know?
Right. She has four kids. She has to get up early in the morning. Right. Correct.
Can I also add, look at this. Okay. Like, bravo, Blake Elander Lively. The tip was $735.50. She tipped an additional $500.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I totally missed that. When I was looking at it, for some reason, I read tip as tax. You're right. So she tipped an extra $500. The tip was included, which restaurants often do with large parties. So the tip was included, and then she tipped an extra $500. Blake Elander Lively, way to go.
We salute
love
you.
A big tipper.
What a queen.
What a queen. No, seriously, though. We love a big tipper. Spread the wealth. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I'm sorry if I butchered any of these Italian names, but I did the best I can. I'll post the receipt to subscribers. If you want to be a Demois subscriber, you can go to our bio.
I'm a subscriber. I totally recommend
you
it.
You are?
10 out of 10. I love it. Like, it's the best, however, $2.99 a month or whatever it is. It's like the best money spent. I love getting that info firsthand.
Oh my God. Thank you for the endorsement.
Yeah, that was a really good endorsement.
I try really hard to stay connected to the subscribers because I do realize that people are paying for content. So I often put things there, and I've said this before, that I don't feel comfortable posting on the main feed just because I know it'll cause a lot of backlash. And to me, the subscribers are kind of like a secret little club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels like when you first started and there was only a couple of thousands of us.
Yes.
I love that.
It's a safe place for me. It's a safe place. So that's why I like posting there. You know, there have been, you know, posts and information that have leaked from the subscriber content, and that's fine. But for the most part, I think most people, you know, they keep it within the confines of what I post to subscribers. So I really appreciate that. Thank you to everyone who subscribes. I love you guys. And I also love the non-subscribers too. I don't want to pick favorite children. Aww. I love everybody. I'm just like full of love today, I guess. Okay. Ferris.
Okay.
What's next?
I don't know what that speech just was, but
Why?
I'm over here. We're not in the same room today, guys. I'm over here holding my hand over my mouth, trying not to just bust out laughing. I don't know. It just was like the
why? Fun. Why can't I be positive about like, my audience?
I don't know. It was cute.
They're really nice. People write me nice things every day.
I know. I love your readers. They're awesome.
They're very encouraging.
They are. Okay. Number three.
When you look at bags of dog food, you see pictures of bright carrots and juicy steaks. But when you open the bag, all you get are burnt, smelly pellets. Dog food needs some fresh thinking. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy. Dogs will eat anything. Just because they'll eat it, does it mean it's healthy food? This is why I love Farmer's Dog. It's real, fresh, healthy food, with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. Just tell them about your dog and they'll deliver personalized, vet-developed recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, conveniently delivered on your schedule. Dog people all across the country have ordered millions of meals from the Farmer's Dog. It's never been easier to invest in your dog's health with fresh food. We have partnered with Farmer's Dog for a while and have stayed loyal because of the Farmer's Dog commitment to quality always. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/DEUXU. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/DEUXU.
This is kind of like a bummer topic, guys. This is celeb divorces of this year so far. And the year's not even over yet. We're like rolling into Q4. We probably have a few more coming up.
All right. So hit us with some celeb divorces that have already been announced.
Okay. So these are like the main ones. We've got obviously Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas, Jeremy Allen White and Addison Timlin, Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Jackman, Britney Spears and Sam Asghari, Sophia Bush and Grant Hughes, Ariana Grande and Dalton Gomez, Sophia Vergara and Joe Manganiello, Kyle Richards and Mauricio Mansky.
Wow, Jesus.
Oh, I'm going to keep going.
Turned October.
It's literally, I'm telling you.
Three more months.
Exactly. Kevin Costner and Christine Baumgartner, Reese Witherspoon and Jim Toth, and Jodie Turner-Smith and Joshua Jackson just yesterday.
Wow.
Right. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I just received a tip like this morning. Somebody was messaging me about something else and then they slipped this in. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Can I repeat this? This person says there have been a lot of celebs seeking divorce advice from Laura Wasser. If you don't know, Laura is a very, very well-known divorce attorney in California. This person says, celebs have been seeking advice recently from her who aren't public yet, meaning the split isn't public nor the divorce is public yet. So I asked them to give me an example and they did. People get so mad because I like tease, but I don't say. I can't say who it is, but it's a very well-known couple. He is a comedian and actor. She is an actress. Lovely couple. They have kids. He went to go see Laura for divorce advice. And I was kind of shocked. But at this point, after you rattled off that long list, like nothing shocking. But I don't know. Do you guys have a guess? If you have a guess, I'll say
Adam Sandler.
But you said actress wife. The wife is an actress too.
The wife is an actress. She's been in a bunch of rom-coms. And he is a comedian actor. I guess I could say they're both not American.
Oh, because my brain, Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson came up first, but I don't think they have kids. No. And yeah, that's not
they
right.
They do. They have a son. But
you wouldn't call her a rom-com actress at all.
No, I would call her like an A-list actress. Yeah. So I would say this couple is more like B-list, but very well known, like very well known.
Oh, I think is Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell?
No, they're both not American.
Oh, not American.
Yeah. So who will be next? We don't know. We'll have to just wait it out. How many more months are left in the year? Three more months. Three. I can't imagine.
Well,
if there will even be another announcement.
There, I would say look at the couples that got together around like 2018, 2019 and the couples that went through the pandemic together, because I feel like now things are changing for a lot of those couples. I mean, the thing that Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas and then Joshua Jackson and his now ex-wife have in common is those were both pretty like quick relationships. And I feel like those relationships are more likely to lead to divorce. And like, I guess 'tis the season, like end of year, it's like a great time to get divorced.
Good yeah, call. It's just it's also really sad to me when there are children involved. Like yeah, I get super, super sad about it. But let's talk a little bit about Josh and Jody. First of all, huge Joshua Jackson fan. I think I've named him several times as my celebrity crush. Oh. Jody Turner Smith, wonderful actress. They made a gorgeous couple. They do have a child together. So this is very unfortunate. But back in September of 2022, I received a tip that they were living separate lives. And I'll get into that, but I want to read a blind item that I posted on September 22nd, 2022. I said, this very attractive B-list acting couple have been estranged for a couple months now. They recently stopped following each other on Instagram. The public distance comes amidst a PR campaign they are doing for a big brand showcasing their togetherness. Note that wife's BFF has also unfollowed husband and vice versa. So there was some Instagram unfollowing in the fall of 2022. Shortly after I posted this, they started following each other again. So I don't know if they have people looking at the account, my account, I mean, to see what the public is saying, and then they were like, oh shit, you know, people notice that we've unfollowed each other, maybe we need to follow each other again. Since last September, my source had told me that they were renting a house together in Los Angeles, but he also has a house in Topanga Canyon. I don't know how far, Gabby, how far is Topanga Canyon from Los Angeles?
So
or is it in Los Angeles?
It's technically a part of Los Angeles. Topanga Canyon is kind of like above Malibu. And Los Angeles is interesting because you could call like where I live, it's technically Los Angeles. I'm right by the Grove. But then also like you could say like parts of Santa Monica, like West LA also says Los Angeles. Parts of West Hollywood says Los Angeles. And that's like all over. But it would be it's probably about like it could be anywhere from like 30 minutes to an hour, depending on where in Los Angeles they're referring to.
Okay, so this person says it's when the traffic is heavy, it's 2 hours away from LA.
That makes sense because getting into Malibu and like getting going up, that makes a lot of sense that Topanga could be 2 hours in bad traffic. It's probably like an hour and a half on like a good day, maybe hour 15 on a good day.
Okay, so this person was telling me that in September, the whole point is that when she was staying at this house in Topanga Canyon, he wasn't there. He wouldn't stay there when she was there. This person goes on to say they don't think that they were fighting, but they're kind of just living separately. So, you know, this estrangement has been going on for a while. And then I think what happened also, you guys might remember, there were like some very staged paparazzi pictures of them walking out of, I think it was Nobu and then maybe another restaurant holding hands. It was just like a very odd move for both of them. Because they don't, you know, Joshua Jackson doesn't really like pose for paparazzi. And Jody Turner Smith, I feel like, you know, if you get her, you get her. But another one who's not like thirsty for the paparazzi. So it was really, really odd. But I think that they had, like I had stated last September, some brand deals together. I know they had one for J. Crew and Motorola. So maybe they had to fulfill those contracts.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And yeah, probably something happened in September and they also, but also weren't they recently photographed together looking like really happy? And wasn't she also wearing her ring recently still, like still wearing her wedding ring?
She still is wearing her wedding ring. I don't know why. I think some people just like to wear their wedding rings. Like I had a friend who was divorced years ago and sometimes she'll pop on her ring.
Well, it's their ring, their diamond. Right. Might as well flaunt it.
Right.
But maybe they also kind of have like a friendship, and that's what makes it kind of like the that's why we're seeing the back and forth. And who knows, maybe like in September they actually decided not to be romantic anymore, and then like now a year later they're like, well, let's divorce so we can move on with our lives. But that might be why they seem so like amicable together now.
Right. I have heard that Joshua Jackson is one to slide into the DMs of young and beautiful young and beautiful women on Instagram. Now, I'm not saying that there was cheating involved, but if there was an estrangement for over a year, you know, you gotta get yours somewhere.
Well, there's always something, right? Like there's a deal breaker in every relationship. There's something that you can't move past. And I think that something happened in September that they were trying to work on, and that's why they didn't announce it. But like today they're like, you know, they gave it a year and they're like, we can't make it work.
Right.
I actually have posted and received a couple of spicy stories about Joshua Jackson. Most notably, there is one. I'm not going to read the whole message. People have asked me to repost it in the past every time I bring it up. So I did pull it up because I wanted to quote it, but I'm not going to read the whole message because it's long. But basically, the gist is that this model, I will say she's a model, very beautiful woman, met Joshua on Raya. And they met up one night at a Golden Globes after party at Sunset Tower. And she went back to his house and she said she was in a gown, so he gave her sweatpants to change into. I feel like the OGs will definitely remember this message.
I remember this one.
Wait, I want to tell you guys, if you guys read my book, Anon, please, I think it was this message that initiated like the flirting between me and Ollie. If you guys know my book, ooh, Ollie is like the love interest. So when I first posted this message, he texted me and he was like, that Joshua Jackson message. And I was like, yeah, it's hot, right? And he was like, yeah, hot. Anyway, I'll read you the hot part. Thank you, Joshua Jackson, for, you know, bringing me and Ollie together on a different level, because that's like what this is. This message is what like kind of Ferris is like so quiet right now. She's not saying a word. She
not
doesn't
one word.
She doesn't approve.
She doesn't ship approve. You guys.
No, she does. Do you ship us, Ferris?
I don't know.
That's a no. Wow. No. Okay. All right. Back to Joshua Jackson's sexy time. This person says, anyway, I was in a full gown, so I got changed into a sweatpants, hung my dress up in Diane Kruger's wardrobe with all of her things because they had just split and she wasn't fully moved out. We had drinks and just talked all night. I wanted to go get something out of my purse upstairs and he was walking with me. And because his sweats were too big on me, my pants were falling down. Then he just bent me over on the stairs and we fucked. And my God, it was so great. We had sex all night. It was fabulous. In the morning, it was raining. He had to go to a meeting and told me to stay in bed and sleep and he'd be back. I got up and had a shower. And the whole time, any little noise, I was like, holy fuck, Diane Kruger has come home and I'm in her bed. I was so stressed. Somehow I got back to sleep. I woke up and he came through the bedroom door and we just started having sex again all morning and it was so good. Anyways, I left in his sweatpants carrying my gown and shoes and hair extensions and I still have his sweatpants to this day.
Ooh, wow.
So, what a story.
It reads almost like fan fiction.
Totally.
It does. It's not fan fiction though.
I believe this, you. It sounds yeah, it too came, real also. Yeah.
It was submitted on Instagram in a DM during quarantine. See, people had a lot more time during quarantine, so I would get like these long DMs where people would explain these stories and like what happened in detail. Now I don't get that as much because I think people are busier, but everyone was home and bored during quarantine. So I think that's when I got this.
I sent you so many of those during quarantine.
Right? But am I right? Like everyone was home and you were just bored, so you had the time. So like, yeah.
Oh, let me remember this thing from 2007.
Exactly. That's how the
no
account
one
started.
Hear about this? Do.
Yeah.
Like they need to tell somebody.
Right.
I can't tell my husband.
To hear about it. Right. No, that is so good. That's exactly how the account started. Everyone was like, yeah, what happened in 2002? Oh, this. Let me write it to do. And like I would post it and people loved reading it.
They were great.
Anyway, this was one of those OG stories. I mean, it's one of my favorites. So anytime Joshua Jackson's name comes up, the image of him having sex on a staircase.
Now that's in my brain too. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, everyone. Anyways, back to Joshua and Jodie Turner Smith. Yeah, I think this was a long time coming. I wasn't surprised. I didn't know that she had filed for divorce. I didn't get a heads up on that, but I wasn't surprised. And I think that the relationship just sort of, you know, timed out for whatever reason. I don't think it had to do with any specific incident. If there was cheating along the course of the relationship, I don't think that was the reason, you know, for the split. So
did you ever say they were in an open relationship, or am I mixing that up with someone else?
I haven't heard they were in an open relationship, but it wouldn't surprise me if, like I said, I had heard that he had slid into the DMs of people on Instagram, not really during the course of their marriage, more in the beginning of their relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, maybe there was no cheating like during the course of the marriage. Maybe it happened like before they were actually married, he got with other people, and then maybe this past year it had happened. But no, I had never heard they were in an open relationship.
I might be mixing that. That's on me. I'm probably mixing it up with some other like star.
Right. Right. Okay, Ferris, what is next on the docket?
Tea on celeb hookups that were never made public.
Ferris, what do you think one of the biggest health challenges?
Oh, for sure, weight management.
Exactly. Yo-yo dieting, losing weight, putting it back on.
Trying the latest fad, it not working.
Exactly.
Feeling like a failure.
Feeling like a failure is the worst feeling when it comes to weight loss.
And then getting discouraged.
What if I told you I knew of something that could help with this?
I would 100% want to know.
The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off.
That's amazing. And I love how it's over a year. That's so important for sustainability.
Exactly. The slow weight loss.
The slow burn.
Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. Row Body Program members have support throughout the process. Row's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting room.
That sounds amazing, especially for parents not having to leave home.
Or people that work.
Yeah.
Having to get that appointment.
How convenient.
Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year, like I said, with healthy lifestyle changes. It's important to note that you do have to pair both. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/do. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/DEUX. Here on Do You, we do not like misleading info. That's why I do my best to be transparent with the most up-to-date intel on all of your favorite celebs. You can trust that I will never intentionally dupe you. Sadly, in life, we do have to deal with a lot of sneaky terms, annoying bill hikes, and exorbitant fees that we did not anticipate. We call that yada yada. Here on Do You, we do not like yada yada. Now, you could spend all of your time combing through contracts, or you could just skip the hassle and go with a trusted brand like Metro by T-Mobile, helping you to get ahead and not pull you back. That's right. You don't take yada yada from life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada. Never settle for less. I know I never do. And now that I don't have to worry about sneaky yada yada, I have time to dedicate my time to making the best content for you guys. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. Okay, this is so good. Some genius in the Q&A yesterday asked for tea on celeb hookups that were never made public. And I was reading through some of these this morning and I was like, whoa, I had never heard of this. So let's just rattle off. You guys can tell me if maybe you've heard and I hadn't heard about them before, but some of them were new to me. Okay, Mary-Kate Olsen and Kanye West. I think I have known about that one.
I didn't.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler also had heard of that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody said KP and Gerard Butler. Do you guys have any idea who KP could be?
KP. KP.
No, right?
Like a
Katy Perry?
Katy Perry. That would make sense because he kind of like reminds me of Orlando Bloom in like a Orlando Bloom in a bold font is how I would describe him. You know?
That's a good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Somebody says Zoe Deutsch and Jared Leto. Never heard of that one.
Wow. Nope. Yeah, me neither.
John Mayer and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Like I heard that. Yeah. And also, and also similar like Jessica Simpson vibes. I feel like I definitely heard that.
I'd never heard of that. George Clooney and Eva Longoria.
No, but I could see it.
Same. A good couple.
Probably in her Desperate Housewives fame, right? Mm-hmm. When he was a playboy with the pig.
Olivia Munn and JT. I'm assuming JT is Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Nope. No, I never heard that, but again, could see that.
Somebody claims, I don't know how reliable this is, that Timothée Chalamet and Selena Gomez, when they filmed the Woody Allen movie.
Oh, I think I heard that too. And I would believe that. I would definitely believe that.
Same.
Yeah.
Taylor Hansen and Michelle Branch.
What?
Were they around the same era? The Hansons were a couple of years before Michelle Branch, right? Or no? Yeah. Was around. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, they were before.
Yeah. But I mean, again, yeah, they were. That could happen.
Wait, all I picture when I hear Michelle Branch is the music video of her on the piano. Like, isn't she like in a truck, like, or in a car? And the piano is like. That's Vanessa Carlton.
Vanessa Carlton. They're so similar. It's. I know what you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No, you're thinking of Making My Way Downtown.
That's right. Yeah.
They came out like months apart, those two singers. Like, I think probably
so good. What a great era.
What a time. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
So good. Britney Spears and Ben Affleck. I knew that one.
I did not know that one.
Yeah, me neither, but could see it.
Liev Schreiber and Toni Collette.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, I never heard that.
Never heard that one either. Another person for Timothée Chalamet and Selena Gomez. I mean, that sounds like just a rumor. I don't know how reliable it is.
I like feel Taylor, like I saw them together.
I saw that movie. And I think, didn't they date in the movie or am I making that up?
I think so, yeah.
So, but I mean, sometimes like you even said that when they play like romantic interest in movies, sometimes that also happens like off screen. Mm-hmm. And then it could have been a showmance.
Right. I'm big on the showmances. People like to say that the showmances are PR. I don't think they are. I think that people genuinely hook up on set. And then if it spills over into the time when the, you know, series or film is done filming, that it's because it started on set.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. Like that was a decision to like continue it as a
right, exactly. Yeah. And then people love to say, well, it's PR, it's PR. Well, no, it's not PR. No. It started on set because it was two people filming together. You know, most of the time it's two people playing love interests.
Yeah.
Hooking up and then
they can blame it on like method acting. It's like a good, right. It's a good
No, that's a thing. Piece. That's a thing.
He trusted his director so much.
So much. They just had to do it.
Okay, Kelly Cuoco and David Spade during 8 Simple Rules.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Zoe Deutsch and James Franco Also, I heard James Franco and Emma Watson, which I've posted about before.
Yeah, I could see both of those.
Yeah, same.
Somebody says Rihanna and Travis Scott. Is that known? I didn't know that.
I feel like I saw a headline about that recently. And I also, yeah, I feel like, wouldn't that explain the Kar Jenner, like kind of like how Rihanna doesn't mess with the Kar Jenners?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I talked about that on a podcast episode. I just don't think that she likes them. I don't know if it has to do with any men that they've shared. Okay. Somebody says a friend slept with ASAP Rocky in 2012 and he kept on talking about his Lana Del Rey hookups.
Wait. As he was hooking up with this
other person?
I guess so.
The other person looked like Lana Del Rey, or he was just name dropping?
No, I like that couple. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I love ASAP and Rihanna, but in 2012, ASAP and Lana, like that's hot. Like,
yeah, peak. That's like right when she like came out with all those with her first album, right? 2012, right. Flower Crown.
I think era. So. Olivia Wilde and Ron Livingston on the set of Drinking Buddies 10 years ago. Again, here we go, on set.
On set.
Proves that.
I definitely feel like I've heard of that one. Mm-hmm.
This person says Lindsay Lohan lost her virginity to Ashton Kutcher after she filmed Punk'd. I heard about it firsthand.
Do you remember the list that she had?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like that was on the list maybe.
Wait, I don't remember this list. Tell me the list.
Okay. So basically, it's actually pretty sad. She wrote a list of all the men in Hollywood. I mean, they were all celebrities that she has slept with while she was in rehab. And someone took a picture of it and sold it to the tabloids.
Oh, so my gosh. What?
The way we treated celebrities in the early aughts is like not okay.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
No, like I wouldn't even post that list. Like maybe I would write like a blind item based off of the most interesting person on the list, but it was wild. And Ashton Kutcher was on the list.
He was,
for
right?
Anyone who was wondering. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
And it's tea because she also dated, didn't she also date Wilmer Valderrama? Or am I making that up?
Oh, yeah. She dated Wilder Valderrama. That's who I thought she actually had her first, like, you know, sexual relationship with, but.
That was Mandy Moore had her first relationship with Wilmer, and Wilmer went on like Howard Stern or something like that and like said that, and it was so gross.
Ew.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, Harry Styles and Sienna Miller. It happened years ago, but it still happened. I could see that 100%.
Same.
This person says Suki Waterhouse and Taron Egerton. I didn't know that either,
but I could totally see that.
Kiefer Sutherland and Eva Longoria. Again, Eva. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Good for her.
Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman fell in love filming Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I mean, that chemistry is fire. So, yes, of course they did.
Mm-hmm. Method acting.
Right. Lana Del Rey and The Weeknd. Two of his songs played before she came on stage. Sorry, guys. The person didn't finish their thought. But again, kind of a hot couple, Lana. Mm-hmm. Leo and Margot Robbie. I've talked about that.
Yep.
Nick Kroll and Lake Bell. He was in love with her. She left him for Jason Sudeikis. Mm-hmm. I also heard Lake Bell had a thing with Sean Avery. And also, whatever happened with Lake Bell and Chris Rock? They kind of just like fizzled out.
Yeah. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well. Amy Poehler and Adam Scott.
From like Parks and Rec? Days?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Let me see who sent it. I don't know how reliable this is. This person maybe is just like a fan. And is putting them together. Jessica Simpson and Ben Affleck. I believe that as well. I'd never heard that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. But I totally buy that.
Taylor Hanson and Michelle Branch. Again, I guess it was a thing.
Oh,
I think actually Jessica referenced dating an actor and she did that she didn't name in her book. I wonder if that was Ben Affleck.
No, I think that it was Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was later, not by her, but I had heard that it was later confirmed to be Mark Wahlberg. Ben Affleck and Blake Lively during The Town. That is well known. Yeah. I don't know if you guys had heard that.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's like pretty well known. Vanessa Williams and Michael Jordan. He wouldn't leave his first wife. She rebounded to Rick Fox.
Ooh.
I could see that.
Interesting.
Nick Kroll and Amy Poehler.
That was news. People knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
They were like an official. They were like a couple.
Oh, they were? I had never heard of that.
It was after. It was. I mean, maybe because I'm more in like I know more of the comedy stuff. But it was after her divorce from Will Arnett. He was like the first guy that she like.
Oh, wow.
With,
I never knew that.
With,
okay.
Publicly with. Yeah.
Okay. Michael, Sarah and Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like I've heard of that one.
Here's Lake Bell again. Jason Sudeikis and Lake Bell, which wasn't made very public, but. A lot of people knew about their relationship. Like I've received messages about those two, which is weird because it was never made public. This person says Cillian Murphy and Sienna Miller, allegedly. I don't know how long he's been married.
I think a long time because we just talked about him recently. And I feel like I was looking some things up and I think he's been married for quite a while.
Jessica Alba and Hugh Dancy. Hugh Dancy is now married to Claire Danes. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift and Alexander Skarsgård. I've heard this rumor before.
Have you heard it too? Yeah, I've heard that also.
Yeah. I have, and just remember thinking this is so bizarre.
Really? I think it's hot.
We got to add him to that height, the height of all Taylor's exes. I love seeing that. Yeah.
This person says Bill Clinton and Sharon Stone a long time ago while he was married, of course. I believe that.
I believe that too. Yeah.
Juno Temple and Justin Timberlake happened at an East Village bar in New York City. Mm-hmm. I believe that too because I see who sent it to me and I know that person. Ana de Armas and Keanu Reeves.
Interesting.
I like how you
but
guys
wait,
are like,
hasn't Keanu been with his partner for a while or is that a newer relationship?
I think it's like about 2, maybe 3 years old.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense. That times out. Yeah.
This person says Charlie Puth and Victoria Justice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Same circle. Yeah.
Okay. Ariana Grande and Chris Brown. Literally a hookup, nothing serious, and was years ago. You know, I've heard a lot of people who have hooked up with Chris Brown. And I think they probably want to keep that on the DL.
Under wraps,
There's an influencer who's like talking about Chris Brown like being in her DMs and has been like posting about it a lot. I think it's like the Mion twins. They're like TikTok. One of them. They're like TikTokers. I feel like I saw that on a T page recently.
Mm. I believe it.
Yeah.
I always say celebs use Instagram like a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber and Bella Poarch. Bella Poarch, I think, is a do you know who she is, Gabby? She's a TikToker.
Yeah, she's
right?
also a TikToker and a musician. And I think some of her music, like she's the reason why like all the other TikTokers have music careers because she was like one of the first ones to do it and her music did very well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know if this is true, Justin Bieber, because he's been married for a while. So that could just be a rumor. And the last one, Bobby Flay and Giada. I've heard that one.
I love that. I hope that's true.
Have you guys
heard
that?
I hope they made like a snack after. And she pronounced mozzarella and bruschetta the way she does. I hope so.
Totally.
Okay, and that's it. I don't know. I really like enjoyed reading those. Thank you guys for submitting
them. Yeah, thank you. That was entertaining.
Okay, Ferris, what do we have to round out today's episode?
Talking about Kourtney Kardashian Barker and Kim Kardashian's feud.
Okay, so if you guys aren't watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I believe last week's episode, there was a very tense phone call between Kim and Kourtney where at the end, Kourtney literally says to Kim, "You are a witch. I hate you," which is pretty harsh, I would say. And I've seen some TikToks circulating that the tension between Kim and Kourtney derives from the fact that Travis Barker was in love with Kim Kardashian many years ago. And if you guys don't know, Travis Barker has known the Kardashians for many, many years. And it is rumored that him and Kim have hooked up. Now, when him and Courtney first started dating, that rumor resurfaced. And I remember the Kardashian, you know, communications team was really quick to put that rumor out. I don't think it was for any other reason, because they didn't want to take away from Travis and Courtney's relationship, right? Like, Courtney finally found the one. She was going to marry this guy. Everyone was happy for her. You know, Scott was out of her life. So I just want to say that I know for a fact, actually, that this feud between Kim and Courtney, first of all, yes, it's very real. I've heard that in real life, like, they're not really speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Travis might have had a crush on Kim Kardashian 10 years ago. That is not the reason why they are feuding. There is a lot that's going on behind the scenes that the Kardashians don't talk about. And I had heard that Kim is now annoyed because the spin on all this is about how in this feud that played out on the show, Kim is mostly wrong and Courtney is right. So it's kind of driving Kim crazy that what really is going on, like really what is the butt of their feud, is not made public, if that makes sense. I know I'm being vague. I know that I'm explaining this in a convoluted way, but, you know, I'm not going to talk about what Travis Barker's issues are. That mm-hmm. is like, you know, his private personal business. But I heard that that is what is at the root of this tension. It has nothing to do with all these TikToks circulating that Travis is in love with Kim. That is not it.
Well, and then also we have to keep in mind that all the Jenners have editing rights on the Kardashians. So, you know, Courtney might have wanted to edit something out and Kim might have wanted to edit something out, which is why we're not getting the full story. And I think this is something that goes back to when they were children. I mean, my mom and her sister have a similar age gap as to Kim and Courtney, and they like go, they don't talk to each other for like 10 years, sometimes for years, because like, it's more my mom is like mad about stuff that happened like 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's just like, they always will have this tension. And I feel like that's kind of similar with Kim and Courtney.
Yeah, I agree.
I said the same thing to somebody, because the reason I'm even bringing this up, because everyone is DMing me like, did you see this TikTok? Like, is this true? Is Travis in love with Kim? And I'm like, you guys, like, no, you know, like, and I just said to someone exactly what you said. I think that this goes back to their childhood, because you could tell also by the way that they're speaking that this isn't, you know, something so simple and such surface as like Travis had a, you know, crush on Kim. One of my sources did tell me, quote, the family feels like Courtney still turned around and picked an unnecessary fight with Kim for the sake of a plot line. They are all really fed up, but especially Kim. So, and I just want to say, like, I'm not like team Courtney or team Kim in this. I think it's always really sad when a family is fighting. But I mean, this is what is going on behind the scenes. It's nothing to do with what you guys are seeing on TikTok.
The reason I don't believe that Courtney would try to start some sort of a storyline is because Courtney doesn't care enough. You know,
like, well, or that's what she wants everyone to think.
I guess. Maybe, but then that's been going on then for over 10 years for her, because I feel like she's never cared enough. Like, she's just been so aloof really about everything. And that's been, if you think about their fight history, that's been the crux of so many of their arguments in the past, that Courtney doesn't want to be involved as much and wants to focus on other things. So I don't know. I don't believe that, but
she might not want to be involved as much because it's just like triggering for her to be in these situations where they're repeating the patterns from their childhood.
Right.
And also, like, you think about it, she's the older sister. So probably growing up, Kim idolized her, and then Kim eclipsed her in fame and popularity. And so much of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and the Kardashians is all about Kim. It's kind of like the Marsha, like, you know, even though Courtney's the older sister. So like, after a while, probably Courtney was like, I don't feel like being involved in a show where I am not even like, I'm like a side character, and it has my family name. I mean, that I'm just speculating. That's how I would feel if I was Courtney.
Well, I did hear that this tension, this family tension, did come to a head, you know, at the peak of Travis and Courtney's relationship. So I do think it does have something to do with Travis. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. You know, I don't think that he is rude to the other family members and that's why they don't like him. I think that there's something going on with Travis, with Courtney and Travis, that maybe the family doesn't agree with. And it's something that won't be a storyline. It's something that's going on behind the scenes. And it's something that should be kept private.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, I want to put a squash to the rumors that it has to do with like Travis secretly being in love with Kim. Because I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's an insane conspiracy theory. You guys know how I feel about conspiracy theories.
It reminds me of like when there was like a meme once. It's like, if we dated in high school, no, we didn't. You're a childhood friend. Like, I feel like that is like the Travis and Kim relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it happened so long ago that it's not even something that's like in the foreground. I think it's more about Kim and Courtney's relationship and maybe how the dynamic has changed now that she's married.
Yes.
And has a whole other family. It's not just her kids, like also the merging of the Barkers. Like, and then also like she must be like pulled in multiple directions and probably Kim is feeling neglected or the family's feeling neglected. I feel like that's more of what the root of the drama could be.
I agree with that.
Maybe.
A lot of moving parts.
Well, I do think there are a lot of moving parts and I think that no one has nailed down what those parts are. I haven't seen any theories that have been accurate to what exactly is going on. But it's like I said, it's sad. I loved it. I loved it when everyone was friends. I loved it when like Kim, Khloé and Courtney were like the trio. And I loved it when Khloé and Courtney, you know, would have their little antics. Like,
and the store.
I loved it.
The store.
They need to bring that back.
They need to bring Dash back.
And like sell Good American, sell Skims, you know? They could like sell all the brands and then also add new and up and coming designers. That's
kind of genius.
Gabby, that is a great idea.
I worked retail for 10 years. I'm happy that this experience can help out the car.
Finally paying off.
That's a great idea.
I do like that a lot. Can you imagine like a one-stop shop for all Kardashian?
They should do it. Take my 5%, Chris.
Yeah. Skims and Good American are two great brands. I actually just bought my first piece of Good American this summer. And I was like, wow, this is like.
What'd you get?
I got a pair of cargo pants.
Cute. I love that.
I love that you're, of course, Ferris. What'd you get? Like, you're so nosy. Gotta know what I got. Ugh.
Can I have it? Can I borrow it?
Exactly. And then next time you come over,
I'll be like a Grinch, you know, like exactly. When you're not home, I'll sneak into your closet.
No, exactly. Like I know exactly where this is going. Next time you come over, you're gonna be like, show me those Good American cargo pants.
No, I'll be like, oh, do you have a pair of cargo pants that I really need to borrow them?
Borrow it for a costume, Ferris.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, first, was that the last topic of the day?
That's all.
Okay. Well, Gabby, it has been lovely having you. Thank you for joining us. Tell everyone again how they could listen to Bad Influencer.
Yeah. So Bad Influencer is available now wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, also YouTube. So binge the entire 9-episode series. And I hope you guys like it. I mean, Dew is amazing. I feel like you're going to just really love her cameo so much.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I thought I did like a subpar job. So thank you so much for saying I did.
You haven't heard it yet, right? You haven't heard the edit yet.
I heard a clip of it.
Okay. Okay, I thought you sounded great. It felt very real.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cadence 13, an Odyssey studio. New episodes of Do You will air every Thursday. See you next week.